This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, L.A. Impact Windows and Doors, Boost Academy, and Marco's Pizza.
Good afternoon. This is The Revolution with Juan McCartney. I am Carlos Mackey, and obviously not Juan McCartney, filling in for Juan. I hope Juan is enjoying his vacation. Today, it is a pleasure to be here with you guys on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on your FM dial. And if you're listening in via any of the other means, we're glad to have you with us this afternoon. Our telephone lines today are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And our text line powered by BTC is 422-4796. Again, that's 422-4796. Again, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a while since I've been on the radio, so please forgive me. I'm probably not as smooth as some of the other guys that Juan has had fill in, but we'll do our best to make sure that we have hopefully a very productive discussion today. One of the things that I think we want to talk about, and today will be an open line day, so feel free to call in, text in. We want to hear from you. We want to talk about the future. And today we're talking about the future, not in terms of tomorrow in the sense of 24 hours from now, but we really want to talk about the future. I think that in the midst of everything that has happened over the last 15, 18 months, there has been a lot of consternation. People have been agitated, they're now frustrated, people have been fearful. We've not had a lot of conversation about the future. So today we want to have a conversation about the future. What should the future look like for the Bahamas? I think we have been thinking and living and moving about in a COVID thought bubble. Today it's time for us to burst that bubble. Today it's time for us to get back on track with thinking about the Bahamas. Yes, COVID may be here forever, and so what? That should not stop our individual or national progress. So let's have a conversation about the future. Again, the telephone lines are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. I'll paraphrase the late Sir Lyndon Pinling, who said, if Bahamians are not willing to fight for the Bahamas, then they do not deserve to have it. And I think a lot of times when we think about our country, and I think that Sir Lyndon, the late Sir Lyndon, was speaking about our access to the promise of what the Bahamas could be, what it could be. As the years have passed, obviously it's becoming clearer that our ability to access what I would call certain kinds of opportunities, particularly financial, educational, those that are entrepreneurial, and even those that are related to health and wellness. Obviously, those things have not followed the same kind of arc as our political and legislative development. So we also see that there's a level of what I would call dissatisfaction among Bahamians, and Bahamians are now prepared to express that disaffectedness, that dissatisfaction. And I think that that's a promising thing for us in our national conversation. But what I don't want for us to get lost in this conversation about being disaffected and displeased is the fact that Sir Lyndon's statement belies an important reality. Rights and responsibilities go hand in hand. Not the responsibilities that are assigned to us from politicians and activist judges who go beyond the letter of the law in the Constitution or even public opinion polls, but we have something called the Bahamas Constitution, and it confers and expresses and infers some very specific things. So let's talk about what our future should be in the context of our Constitution. I think we have a call on the line. Call, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. Go ahead, caller. Welcome to the revolution.
My first question is this, is that why, it's not about the Londoners, about Indiana, is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Absolutely fine.
Yeah. At the moment, I would like to know why the flags are not flying half mast. And also to Eddie Hanna.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he choose the Progressive Liberal Party? And also going down the road, in 1984 when he resigned from the cabinet,
mm-hmm.
why didn't he resign from the party?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he choose that great party? I would just like to know.
Absolutely. I don't know if I can speak authoritatively for Mr. Hanna. And again, to the Hanna family, I express my and my family's condolences at his passing. I think it's an interesting thing that you have pointed out that our public buildings don't have their flags, as far as I'm aware, as you would have pointed out. I've not seen or heard
not one of them.
Their
not
call.
One of them.
I agree. I think
that main flag as you drive down that hill, Blue Road from Government House, that big, beautiful flag there.
Yes,
is not at least that. You know.
Indeed. I don't disagree. I think it's an unfortunate oversight. I do think that it should be corrected. To your point as to why Mr. Hanna would have chosen the PLP, again, I can't speak authoritatively to that. I can only speak based on certain public pronouncements that he would have made in various interviews and so forth. One of the things that Mr. Hanna would have indicated, obviously, is that not necessarily the founders in terms of Cyril Stevenson and those persons, but particularly some of the more active persons that he would have been contemporaries with, persons like Sir Lyndon and some of the other fellows. Obviously, they were classmates, or at least schoolmates, or at least what do you call it? They were a bit of a cohort when they would have went off to London for law school. And I think that obviously independence fever and so forth and self-determination was something that was very significant from the persons in the Commonwealth diaspora at that time. And I think that when they came home, it is most likely that the PLP would have provided a platform, or at least the kind of grouping that was most amenable to that particular feeling. Another thing that Mr. Hanna would have talked about, even with the resignation in 84 and not leaving the party, I think he was still of the view, based on his statements, that though he had concerns with his longtime friend Sir Lyndon and what would have been exposed during the Commission of Inquiry, he still believed that the party itself, and these are his words, was the best vehicle in terms of in the Bahamian political sphere to achieve for the masses of Bahamians what they had set out to do when they would have come back home from London. So that's the only thing that I can say in that regard, because that's what he has said on the public record. I am not a partisan in any shape or form, but again, with all due respect to the late Sir Eddie Hanna, Arthur Dion Hanna, again, we express our condolences. I do think and agree with you that it is a significant oversight that the flags are not flying at half mast. He was not only a parliamentarian, one of the drafters of the Constitution. He served as a senior minister in our government, and he would have also served as Governor General. So it is a definite oversight that needs to be corrected post haste.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that, and I would like you to just have the message to the powers that be that those flags need to come half past.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
We need to show respect. Thank you so much, caller. We have another call on the line. We have another caller, producer. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'll call you the invite along with you, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
God bless to you as well. Go ahead.
I haven't gotten your name.
My name is Carlos Mackey. I'm sitting in for Warren McCartney.
Okay, good. What I want to say, right, first I would like to give my condolences to the Hanna family. You know, of course, they're my family also.
Okay.
But, you know, Mr. Arthur D. Hanna Sr., he was a man with integrity.
Mm.
And he believed in educating his people.
Okay.
And he wasn't selfish with his position.
Mm.
Okay? You go to his office, of course, on several occasions, I had reasons to go and sit with him. He's not going to let you sit one side of the table and he on the other side.
Mm.
He's going to have you sitting beside him. And he always would educate you, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
He would give you some knowledge in which you hadn't went there to see him about. And, you know, he was a very humble man, you know?
Indeed.
Like I've said, you know, he was filled with integrity, you know, and I appreciate him for that, right? But what I want to say, and guess what? I was seeing nobody that are in politics then or now, which carried the integrity in which he had carried. What I want to say, right?
Yes.
Look, going forward, you know what I've noticed? A lot of politicians, they are filled with greed, and I don't want the Bahamian people to be, you know, gone, but to let those politicians to sell up our assets. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
If they want to make money, find a way to make money, to take care of your people. But
indeed,
don't sell the assets, because the thing is, we already build them to what they are today, and they should stay Bahamians. They should stay for the Bahamian people.
But, caller, I would advise you that if you listen to the political pundits and the so-called financial intelligentsia, you and I may be in the minority, because I do agree along with you that we don't necessarily need to be in a rush to sell off our state-owned assets. I think we need to do a better job of potentially finding external managers, but I don't think that we should sell off the ownership of our state-owned assets. But it appears that you and I are in the minority, caller.
Those ones who desire to sell it, they are stupid. And I will repeat that. Okay?
Okay.
Other point is, right? Hello?
I'm here. Go ahead, caller.
What I would like to see is that the police force,
okay,
I wish they would get proper training, that they would carry on like military.
Okay.
For militaries, because right now, majority, plenty of them in there are joking. They need not to be police.
Mm.
And plenty of them, and this I know, even though some of them are going to try to deny it, they went there because of, you know, politicians give them a job.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? You can't be like that. You can't build a country like that.
So your view is that our future will not bode well, firstly, if we keep selling off state assets, and two, if we don't have a more, in your words, to paraphrase you, a more professional police force.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Exactly.
Excellent.
And educate your people. That's the other thing. You know, the standard of our education are too low.
Okay.
Just about everybody, after they finish high school, they're looking for a college, most of them, to go to, which is not in this country.
Mm.
Build your people, man. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
And my last point is the doctors,
yes,
right? They're always bragging about the hospital is a teaching hospital.
Mm.
The thing is, how it can be a teaching hospital? You take our money, send doctors off to school, and you still got to take our money, or let people die because they're not getting the proper health.
Interesting.
You know, service.
Interesting.
Man, work on something. Work on it, man. Stop joking. The majority of them are joking. Build your people. Build your country. If you build your people in the proper manner, you will have a people decide and focus in the manner in which they want and will build our country. We are always depending. And get that out of my face.
I'm with you. Thank you so much, caller. We cannot be dependent. Thank you so much for that comment. Caller says that we have a job to do for the future to build this country, and it requires that we do not do things that allow us to be dependent. That's his view of the future. We can't be dependent. We need more professionalism, and that we have to put some more emphasis on certain sectors. Healthcare is one of those which he has mentioned. We're having a conversation about the future today, and again, this is The Revolution with Juan McCartney. I'm Carlos Mackey filling in for him. We're having a future-focused conversation, and it's an open line about your thoughts about what we need to do for the future. The Bahamas is a country with a population of 385,000, according to the UN Department of Economic and Social Affairs. We have a GDP of $12.6 billion, according to the IMF World Economic Outlook database. But we also have a debt-to-GDP ratio that is over 90% now, according to most estimates. So let's have a conversation. What should the future of the country look like? We'll take another caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes. Good morning, Carlos Mackey.
Good day, sir. How are you?
Fine.
Excellent.
Now, you says Bill Monarch, why didn't 89 leave the party in 84? You don't have destroyed nothing you have to create.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He already leadership for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
Stand back. And now he getting his accolade when he's dead, but you don't leave nothing overnight because you follow. He can't win it. Let us two leave the party and save this great party, because the foreign forces were here. CIA was here on the ground working against Finland, trying to destroy. Destroy him. If Finland did what he say, the PLP would have party would have still been in the government as today.
Mm.
But he stayed there, won't be leadership. But leadership, they're not going to leave.
Mm.
Terry stayed too long. Finland stayed too long. The PLP right now got 4 seats. Because the leadership don't know when to go.
Wow.
They're getting back to Hannah. If it wasn't for Hannah, there would have been no, like, even Pericles Melo sort of PLP went to law school under the PLP for free. Pericles beat Melo.
Mm.
Even the white behemoths got free students because of the PLP.
Okay.
There would have been no Dr. Stein.
Mm.
Dr. Stein's daddy as a CPA could not go downtown to get no job. He was a poor man before the PLP.
Mm.
That's why he died of PLP stuff.
You're talking about Mr. Basil Sands.
Yes.
Okay.
He could make a dollar under the UBP FNL. As mad as he was. Under the PLP, he made plenty of money.
Mm.
All his children went up to good schools because of the PLP. I don't think Dr. Jackson next to Brett Simmons now. Because of the PLP.
Mm.
So imagine that. Brett Simmons' daddy had his foot on Basil Sands' neck, but now his son.
Now let's be careful.
Together.
Let's be careful about certain historical comments now.
We know the UBP
and personalize them. Yeah, you can say the UBP, but let's UBP. Be careful to not personalize certain things. Yeah, we lost that caller. Go ahead, caller.
No, I'm saying I'm fast. This is reality because of Hannah being reanimated. All the managers' bank had to go. Keeping the hotels had to go. All of the top.
Did we lose that caller? I think we may have lost that caller. Caller, you there? I think we lost that caller. But we do get his point, and I agree with him. We have a text that came in, and this text that says, there is no excuse for the oversight or political compromise on the lack of respect and the flag not being half-lowered in honor of a former great founding father of the country, Governor General, and essentially that should be happening at every public office. There needs to be a call made to the Office of the Prime Minister and the Ministry of National Security to correct and fix this ASAP. This person says that they're going to try to call because we owe this to the country. Thank you very much, Dexter. I agree with that sentiment. We owe it to the country to not disregard the contribution and, as a previous caller indicated, the humility of Arthur Dion Hanna. We're talking about the future of the Bahamas today, and one of our questions is, what should the Bahamas of the future be? I know it's tempting for us to look at the current difficulties and feel like this is the only thing that we can think about, this whole COVID situation and everything from that. But here's the problem. Myopia, regardless of the reason for it, and the circumstances around it is still short-sightedness. You can't get around that. No matter how you spell it, it's still short-sightedness. So we right now have a bit of a tragedy of myopia happening. Let's have a conversation. Let's open each other's eyes. We'll take another caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, sir. Good evening to what?
Good day, sir. How are you?
Not bad.
Good indeed.
Good to have you again, Mark.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. But no, Mr. Markey, I guess Hannah, right?
Yes.
Lady Hannah was a true progressive. Unlike many of the people, most of the PLP wasn't really a progressive party. It was a revolutionary party, you know.
Mm.
It never did a progressive tax,
mm.
you see. So with all of the whatever progressive initiative or platform they had, they couldn't pay for it without a progressive tax,
mm.
you know. And I would say that the, like, let's look at the minimum wage thing or the livable wage thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. The PLP today, they're saying that we're going to bring the minimum wage to the private sector up to $250, even with that of the public sector. And then they're going to have to grow the economy and they have to enable to bring it up to par with the $600 that the University of Bahamas study said is needed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my question to them is, does Rupert Roberts need the economy to grow for him to be his star? You see? You know what I'm saying? Before what, it was livable wage. You know? It was something, before what, it was some other structure.
Okay.
You see, so I employ the poor people not to listen to these rhetoric, not because these people are civil Bahamans. Remember, now, when it comes to taxation, the government taxation policy, who they go to for consultation? Civil Bahamas, right?
Mm.
They go to the, what do you call it, the Chamber of Commerce, my lord, the employers,
mm.
you know, on taxing where they should tax them. So civil Bahamas, I mean, the working class of the Bahamas, the proletariat, these people are, we are ununionized. You know, the unions in this country, a few of them are not from the proletariat. But mass majority of them, they're professionals. The mm. teachers, the policemen, the nurses, the doctors, you know. So we need the poor people need a progressive. You seem to be a somewhat a progressive, if I'm remembering correctly. We need a Bernie Sanders in this country. We need a Jeremy Corbyn.
I don't think I fit the mold of Bernie Sanders. What I would say is that I'm probably I would say that I'm much more.
Jeremy Corbyn. You know,
I don't think I fit Corbyn's mold either, because I'm definitely more of a social conservative. I'm a social conservative, but I would probably say that as far as business matters, I'm much more progressive as in terms of business and growth. I do believe that we need to take to use one caller's. One previous caller's analogy, we need to take the foot off of people's necks
when it comes to starting businesses. We can't excuse that the economy needs to grow.
Right.
You know, to legislate a livable.
Well, I think what you're saying...
Things, and I would think that people like Adi Hanna, these are the things who would be champion.
I don't disagree with you. I think one of the issues we've had is that Reaganomics and Thatcheronomics from the 1980s is still the prevailing kind of economic theory in governments around the world. This trickle down garbage.
You know, like Bremen said,
and it's literally only trickle down. Well, I mean, you know, trickle down economics literally only trickles down, and that's the trouble that we've had now, really, for the past 30 years in this country.
You know,
that stuff is only trickle down.
We could call for the Chinese socialism. We could call for the European socialism.
Well, I'm not a fan of either. I don't believe in socialism as a theory. That's my personal view. But what I believe is, I believe that the Bahamas can come up with a Bahamian entrepreneurial economic model, which is very different from the slave plantation model that we have today.
You know,
and that's,
when you, when,
and that's
when you
something
say a
that we need
lawyer,
to,
right?
to deal
See,
with.
It has to be, what you say, has to be, everybody has to be entrepreneurs. You can't, because you can't say, well, it's a bohemian dream, you know, you get some one-off entrepreneurs that you get some,
and that's my point.
You know what I'm saying?
And that that's where I tell you, I'm much more of a progressive in that respect.
I got your argument,
and I understand it clearly.
And then you're gonna say you're progressive, and that you're party for the poor. You're gonna wipe away the tears from every eye.
Well, listen, I don't promise to do that. Only the Lord promised that at the end of time. But what I do believe is that rich or poor, white or black, whoever you are, if you are a legal resident and citizen of this country, you should have the opportunity to achieve your best, and your economic status and your personal background should not exclude you from having the opportunity to be successful in business or whatever other professional venture you choose.
But you know, at the same time, you can't allow the legislative, the people with means, the bourgeois of the nation, to monopolize the legislative branch. You know what
well,
I'm saying?
The
legislative branch is already broke because it's a rubber stump. So we got issues, and they don't want to fix it because it works in their favor. You know what I'm saying?
I don't disagree with that to an extent, but my final answer on this particular item would be, what we have to consider is this: wherever there is good government, regardless of the background of the persons in government, when you have good government, the people flourish. When you don't have good government, when you don't have good government, the people suffer.
But not for the poor.
Well, listen, we have had people who are wealthy in government, and we have had people who come from the poor in government.
Overall, the
results speak for themselves.
Coming from the poor. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean, because you come from the poor, that don't mean that they're all as well as
my point exactly. So
thank you.
So I thank you for that contribution, caller.
Yeah, man. Thank you for allowing me to you know what I'm saying, dialogue with you, because it doesn't happen. Thank you much, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in. This is The Revolution with Juan McCartney. I think we have another caller before we go to break. Caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Excellent. Go ahead. This is The Revolution.
Yes.
Go ahead, caller. Go ahead.
Yeah, can I talk now?
Yes, please feel free.
Hello, hi. This is the Marathon Man, Sam Williams. I am very upset. We are not giving those two athletes, women, the gold. I know we represent this country. We need to put something into our kids, into our junior school, our primary school. We need to build. And I'm asking all the coaches in this country, Get together, and make the government do something to end sports, put some money behind sports. Look at the beaches. We have nobody could swim.
Mm.
Look, we got Lake Lani down there.
Mm.
For the field event, the discus.
Mm.
Man, come on, man. We need to do something behind our athletes.
Marathon, I don't disagree with you at all.
The two gold medals we win, we should be proud of that. This island, the country is so small.
Well, please, listen.
Let us see if we can do something for our athletes in this country.
Marathon Man, I thank you so much for this call, because I think that's an important point. Because we, not only do we have two athletes that would have won gold, we just had this year, literally last month, another Bahamian drafted in the first round of the NBA.
Yes.
And I don't think that we are celebrating it enough.
Look at the baseball stadium down at the Sports Center. Nobody,
absolutely.
They will never finish that.
And people may not be paying attention, but one of the most
popular
Major League Baseball players right now is Jazrado Chisholm from the Bahamas.
Yes. You're right. Please push that, man.
Absolutely, absolutely.
When the games is on, I ask the kids if they have a TV. See, they don't have a TV.
Mm.
They watch the games.
Mm.
And that's the primary school.
Yes.
Because look at our new generation is coming, man. Please do something with that situation. And there was those athletes, they got to open up their mouth. The coaches got to open up their mouth in this country.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much, caller. We appreciate that call. Before we go to break, I'll read this text. Good afternoon, Brother Carlos, and to the Bahamas at large. I'll appreciate if someone can tell me how comparing people's childhood life with their adult life will encourage them to become vaccinated. and telling people they are risking everything. Is this helping the vaccination drive? Personally, I know they are risking many things. So please, people, stop using analogies and comparisons that don't align. We have another texter who says, the colonists understand the Bahamas is big. Stop saying that we are small. Thank you so much, texter. Again, this is an opportunity for all of us to lend our voice. And, you know, to that texter's point, we had a prime minister that used to say that we want to make the Bahamas the very best small country in the world. And I take issue with that statement, and I've never agreed with it. My goal and the goal of all of us should be to make the Bahamas the best country in the world, bar none. Regardless of what you think about our standing today, today's conversation is, what is our future focus? That's our conversation. We can make the Bahamas the very best country in the world. We just have to want it, and we have to try. You're listening to The Revolution with Juan McCartney. We're going to take our first commercial break. This is Carlos Mackey sitting in for Juan McCartney. We'll be back right after this break.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time, and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon. We're back here on The Revolution with Juan McCartney. This is your host, Carlos Mackey, sitting in for Juan as he gets some much-needed and much-deserved R&R. Again, our telephone lines are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and our text line is 422-4796. We're talking about future focus today. We want to have a conversation around how do we get the Bahamas to actualize its potential. The late Dr. Miles Monroe would often make a statement that the Bahamas is where God lives. And I am somebody that wants that to be true, because every person that I know wants to go to heaven, even though I know every Bahamian I know pretty much ain't ready to dead. So what do we need to do to make the Bahamas a place where not only God truly lives, but Bahamians of all stripes want to live here? I'm somebody that would have been off to university a few times as far as my bachelor and master's degree. And I decided that I love the Bahamas enough, despite the opportunities overseas, to come home. What in our mind should we be looking at building in the Bahamas such that I'm not an anomaly? Myself and my best friend, we are probably two of what we would call in our age set, among our cohort of friends, two of the few professionally trained persons, I in accounting and business studies, and he in medicine, that actually decided, you know what, it is better in the Bahamas, and we intend by God's grace to make it so. What do we need to do to make our country the very best country in the world? First and foremost for Bahamians, and then everybody else that we allow to visit and reside among us. You see, let's talk about what's happening. We have right now what I consider to be a tragic spirit of fearfulness that is pervading everything that we do. And I want us to breathe deeply and to exhale. Yes, I know no one is pretty much breathing deeply or exhaling anywhere because of this COVID thing. if you sneeze or you cough in public, people ready to mash you right down. Like you never had a cold before in your life. Like you can't get something caught in your throat or in your nose. You mustn't have sinus and allergies anymore. It's such a silly level of fear. And I'm not saying that COVID isn't real. I'm saying exactly the difference. We know it's real, but let's not act as though there weren't other real parts of life before COVID came. Let's not move from fear. Let's focus on the future. So today, let's take off our mask, intellectually that is. Let's lower our mask intellectually. Let's get some fresh air into our mental space. Let's talk about our dreams and our aspirations for the Bayamian Nation. Yes, we can have personal considerations when we think about the future. That's always a reality. But let's collectively, for a couple of minutes, put aside our individualism and let's think about the best things that we can do for the Bahamian land and make Bahama land the greatest stretch of islands on the earth. What does that look like? What should we be focused on? We have a text that came in that says, it's high time and long overdue for the Honorable A.D. Hanna's dream of true Bahamianization to become present reality, especially now after his recent passing. And as Mr. Marathon Williams just said, let's celebrate all of our true heroes all in an all-out national museum ASAP. I really like that idea. Thank you so much, Texter. We have some persons on the phone line. Let's have the conversation. We should have a future focus. Let's focus on making the Bahamas better. Call, are you there?
How are you doing?
Doing excellent. Thank you for joining the revolution.
Well, it's always refreshing to have you on, Mr. Mark. You always come from an aspect that everybody needs to be focused on.
I appreciate that, brother. I really do.
I want to make 2 points, right?
Go ahead.
Because your callers seem to be on point today. I don't know if it's you or it's the weather or what. They're on point. but one of them said education.
Yes.
And the next one was talking about athletes.
Yes.
Well, athletes, goals, especially Olympic athletes, are not made overnight. They just can't graduate from high school and decide, I won't go in the Olympics.
Absolutely.
That has to be something that's bred in you from a pre-care. You understand? From many, like, any place you can walk, you got to start up and embed it in you.
Absolutely.
Right?
I tell people, when you look at Michael Phelps, the mm-hmm. great U.S. Olympian, mm-hmm. it's estimated that USA Swimming would have spent somewhere on him individually, would have mm-hmm. spent between the time that he was 8 years old and stopped competing in the millions mm-hmm. of dollars that
exactly.
they invested in him, not what his parents invested in him, USA
exactly.
Swimming, in order for him to be, you know, in now in the dozens. I think he had over a dozen Olympic medals. So your contention is spot on.
And to add to that, like I said, we need to start with the youngest. If we want a better country tomorrow, we got to start today to build. And you know, you got to pretty much squash what you have right now. I mean, that's when I say squash, as far as a unified nation, I think we need to start with the ones who've been in kindergarten now and say, okay, this can be our mark. Not that we're throwing the rest away, but we start with this one, these to make them. Would be more 20 years from now. We want these that coming out 20 years from now to be what we want.
I don't disagree with that completely. What I would say is that I think that there's a thought that we can manufacture what I would call success, and I agree that you can. But what I would say is one of the things I don't want us to lose is the opportunity for children to be children and to explore. I think we need to set up feeder programs such that every child has at least a couple of things that they're able to get into where their parents' economics does not necessarily preclude them from being able to get involved in something that they're interested in. And as you say, as they continue to progress up through the junior school and high school ranks, we begin to put more resources nationally focused. And it doesn't necessarily, just because it's nationally focused, doesn't mean that it has to come out of the national budget. This is where we have to do, as is done in other places, where corporate Bahamas comes and they lend their hand. Civil society come and they lend their hand. such that we get these young persons the opportunities that they need to be properly trained up. I agree with you in that perspective, 100.
Before you cut me, let me just say this. I just want to comment on that 1 second, and then I'm going to go to my other point.
Okay.
Then we was growing up. I grew up in the 70s as a, you know, like a pre-K student over there. And
yes,
then when we went to the court to see which one we was best at, you understand?
Yes.
We didn't go just because I could run fast. They just let me run fast. So they put you in high jump, short foot, javelin, all. They check you on all to see what you was good at.
Absolutely.
I don't know if they do it today, but I mean that was what we did. And they that's where you produce the Joey Wells and the Frank Rutherford and the you know, like that, those guys who came out, you understand? And one thing I want to get to is you have school opening now. I don't know what the criteria is, but I know when I was in school and even my children, they had to be vaccinated to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know where, you know, I'm not a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what smallpox was, but I trust the medical profession and all this. They say I needed to get it, and this would prevent my children from having it. So I decided, you know, I couldn't homeschool them. You know, I wanted them to be well-rounded and go to
mm-hmm.
school. So I complied, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that needs to be a standard that, you know, it ain't no option. If you want your child to go to school, you gotta take the vaccine, you understand? And so to build for tomorrow, we have, like you're saying, to build for tomorrow, we have to start today. One more thing is the flag.
Yes.
The gentleman mentioned the flag. We discussed the education again. We don't even know how to fly the flag.
Mm.
The flag not supposed to be up after that. You know what I mean? You will have the flag flying anytime.
This is true. Yeah,
all the flags on top of your flag.
Yeah,
anyway, I got to go, but I got to... But like I say, all this comes to nation education for nation building. All of a night.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, caller. We have a few texts that came in. This person says... Carlos, could you give us, I guess, some perspective on how you coming on tomorrow when the Haitian president got shot and killed? we lowered our flag. What's up with that? I think that's a very interesting point. It is beyond me, and the only reason I mention oversight. Because I don't want to, because the text also says that I believe it was a big possibility, Carlos, that it was intentional, right? I want to give our elected officials the benefit of the doubt. I don't know what it is to be in government, and I pray for our leaders, because I do think it is probably the most difficult job if you're actually trying to do it right. And I want to give everybody the benefit of the doubt that they are trying to do it right. I don't want to believe that it would be intentional that we would have not lowered our flags appropriately for the passing of the Honorable Arthur Dion Hanna. But I would also say that if it is such that it is intentional, that would be extremely horrible. That would be horrible. And I think that we have to be able to rise to a different level in our country, regardless of what people's political stripes are. We have to be able to speak well of people and do well for people, not only when they die, but also, too, we have to be able to give people their flowers when they are alive. As one caller previously would have indicated, Mr. Hanna probably is one of the humblest men of what we would call clout and what we would call just historical personal pedigree in terms of what all he would have done for the nation as a nation builder. And he was still a very humble fellow. I remember Mr. Hanna, honestly, riding. My actual real memory of Mr. Hanna is him riding his truck. He had a little, I think that was maybe a Chevy S10 or similar kind of little truck. That's my memory of him heading up east in his little truck and you know, going fishing. That's my memory of Mr. Hanna. So I'm hopeful, Texter, that the fact that we were so quick to recognize the assassination of the Haitian president and not at the same time recognize the passing of the Honorable Arthur Dion Hanna former cabinet minister, governor general, and a frame of the Constitution. I have to believe that it was an oversight, an unintentional oversight, because if we go down the road of believing it's anything else, then we have to have different discussions around the propriety of persons who currently hold both elected and appointed office, and whether or not we have to do more drastic things around dealing with whether those persons are proper and fit to hold their offices. So I don't think that's a conversation for today. Not that it's not an important conversation, but I want today's conversation to be future focused, because honestly, I think that it would be extremely unfortunate if it was not an oversight. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. We have some more texts. This text says, great show as usual. Thank you so much, Tester. Before we make the country better, we have to first make ourselves better. For example, our attitude towards each other. I agree with that 100%. Another text says, we have mediocre, sometimes incompetent leaders, and the results are predictable. I used to say we need better leadership, but I don't think that will happen for a very long time, because charisma and connections are our sole leadership selection criteria. What we need is a network outside of government that is solely focused on promoting excellence. No family, friends, and politics. It pushes excellence. Get excellence to the top, and everybody will benefit. Tex, I couldn't agree with you more. This person says, dude, it is intentional. He died for a while now, and people all over the news keep saying what happened to the flag. They hear the complaints by now. Wake up. I appreciate your candor. I want to give the government the benefit of the doubt. I do. I'm going to have to. I'll leave it there. One more text that says, Mr. Markey, politics defines how every single Bahamian is treated. The failure to fly the flags at half mast, in my opinion, was calculated and deliberate. If that is such, then again, like I say, for another day, if I have the opportunity, I think then we have to have a conversation about being fit and proper, because that does not speak of a people that really is prepared and leaders that are prepared to take their country forward. And that would mean that we need to do, anyhow, we can leave that alone. We're talking about being future focused. And this is The Revolution with Juan McCartney. When we come back from the news break, we are going to continue this discussion, because we have to get over the spirit of fear that's hovering over the Bahamas. The Bahamas is a wonderful place. It's full of potential, but potential is pretty much like bad breath. If you don't deal with it properly, it's going to haunt you. This is The Revolution with Juan McCartney. This is Carlos Mackey sitting in for Juan McCartney. We'll be back right after the news break.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon. We're back on The Revolution with Juan McCartney. This is your host, Carlos Mackey, sitting in for Juan, who is out this week on vacation, and we hope Juan is doing well. Today, we're having a conversation on focusing on our future. We want to make sure that we don't allow what I would call the immediacy of now and the vacuum of fear and fret to cause us to miss out on the opportunity to plan, to dream, to think, to act, to achieve what we can in order to make the Bahamas the very best nation in the world, bar none. So again, our telephone lines are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and our text line is 422-4796. We have a few texts in. One text says, the government, by changing the travel protocol with short notice, has caused many Bahamians to be stuck overseas at great expense. That is definitely understandable. Thank you so much, texter. Somebody says, good afternoon. As a young black Bahamian, I think in order for the Bahamas to be better, we probably need a white or Chinese person to be prime minister, or better yet, I think a woman needs to be prime minister. I'm a 35-year-old man. I say it because we've already seen what men can do as prime minister, but we've not yet seen what a woman can do as prime minister. Texter, I don't know. I think I disagree with that sentiment. I think it's both racist and sexist. And yes, you can be sexist towards male, and I'm not offended by it. I just don't agree with it. Just because you've chosen men that you may not feel as though they have done a good job, that doesn't mean that all men that are potentially available and would potentially be willing would do a bad job. Secondly, that doesn't mean that just because you elect a woman or a person of Asian descent or a person of Caucasian descent, that they're going to be good simply based on their racial makeup. I think that's a very poor perspective for us to have around how we make the Bahamas better. And it literally says that it's really a defeatist mindset. We had a major superpower leader essentially call all Afro descent led countries expletive nations. We should, if you are a person, you say that you are, and as I am, and I'm not personally attacking you, I'm simply saying we should have more pride in that. I know that I don't consider the Bahamas to be an asshole nation, expletive nation, and I do know that we have Bahamians, and I'm blacker than most. And I could tell you, I know that we have Bahamians of my hue or the various shades of the brown wheel of being African descent and of the Caucasian persuasion, the Caucasian descent, the Euro descent, that are quite capable. So for me, the criteria is, are you a committed nationalist, bona fide, patriotic Bahamian? That to me is the first set of criteria. And are you somebody that is a person of faith? Yes. Some of you all don't believe that faith matters. I believe that faith matters, because when you hold highest offices in a land, you have to also be beholden to a higher authority. If you have no higher authority, then I can't believe in your integrity. So if you're not a person of faith, don't waste your time looking for my vote. That's me. You may not hold a particular opinion in that way, but I do. I have to know that you believe in something, because if you don't believe in something bigger than you, then I can't believe you to believe in the Bahamas being bigger than it is now. That's my perspective. You may have a different one, and that's fine. But don't tell me that a man, especially a black man, cannot do well in this country for Bahamians. That's sexist and that's racist. And we have to get past that in our thinking. We have somebody that texted in. Carlos, you talk about fitting proper. I believe we need to screen these jokers better when they come to offer to serve us. They don't care about us. Texter, I agree with the overall sentiment. I wouldn't use those words exactly, but I agree with that sentiment. We have another texter that says, good day, Mr. Markey. While I think the SBDC are doing a good job, I think more can be done for existing businesses that have business history of 3 to 5 years, that have the ability to expand and help reduce unemployment in the expansion process. I think funding must be given to companies that are currently exporting locally made products that can bring in much needed U.S. dollars. Absolutely, absolutely agree. Again, let's look at a couple of quick facts. 385,000 people, $12.6 billion GDP, with a national debt that's approximately 90% of that. $34,000 per year is our per capita GDP, but household income, think about that. Household income is $37,000. So that means that we're having a lot of our so-called per capita GDP concentrated in few hands, because our per capita GDP is essentially almost the same as our average household income. That's something to think about, right? We have an unemployment rate of roughly 25%, 18 to 25%, depending on whose estimate you believe. And right now, based on everything that's been put out, most of the rating agencies and international economic bodies are projecting that we'll have roughly 2% growth for the next year to 3 years. That's our current situation, but it doesn't have to be. We're talking about being future-focused today. We'll take another call. Call, are you there?
Good afternoon, Carlos. How you doing, man?
Doing excellent. How are you, caller? Welcome to the revolution.
Thank you so much, and it's great to hear you on radio. Thank you for your provocative topic.
Thank you.
I just want to make a very, very poignant point here. I think in order for us to think about the future of the Bahamas, we must look back at where we came from, where we are today, who were the architects back then to help create in modern-day Bahamas, and give them their kudos while they are alive.
Absolutely.
When I say that, I think about the persons. It's so sad that we have not done sufficient for A.D. Hanna.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us during the 60s and 70s grew up, and we know quite a bit about them, but not as much as we should know about them.
Mm.
I also think about another person like Loftus Roker.
Yes.
In other words, what I'm saying to you is the architects of the modern-day Bahamas, we need to honor them today. We have this thing called National Hero State.
Yeah.
But yet these persons are alive, and yet we do not honor them. I realize that they are politicians, but there are many pastors and preachers and
Absolutely.
Community leaders and stuff. We are neglecting them.
Absolutely.
It's time for us to move forward. We must honor these persons while they are alive. I'll close on this one point so you can comment very quickly here.
Yes.
My mind now runs to, you talk about the future of the country. We need to look at all of these persons who have helped to make the industries of the Bahamas what it is today. I'm not talking about these managers and these general managers and so on. I'm talking about the average layperson who have worked their lives, all their lives in these industries, but they go unsung, they are unrecognized. We need to start recognizing the Bahamians who have contributed significantly into making these industries what they are today, and give them their due and give them their credit while they are alive. I think once we start recognizing not just the big people, but the small people in this country as well, we will be well on our way for the future, for our children that comes afterwards to also pay tribute and homage to those persons who have helped to build the country. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in. I think it's a very important point. For the kind of history that we have, it's unfortunate that we don't have a proper network of national museums. And what I mean by that is every island of our major islands should have a properly curated national museum. But another thing that I think we're losing is the oral tradition, the story of how the things that have happened in our country have come to happen. The caller mentioned Loftus Roker. And we understand what newspapers may say about Loftus Roker, but it's always a pleasure to hear the Honorable Loftus Roker speak about his thought process and his decision process in what he did when he was a part of the cabinet. And it's extremely insightful, and I think that it should be something that we do a better job of. We probably need to have some kind of oral history project because there are many different sides to stories, and some of the stories may conflict, and that's fine, because we want to get all of these different historical perspectives in the public domain, on the record, because one person sees something in one way, another person sees something in another way, and all of that helps to inform our national conversation. But to the caller's point, we have to record it, and we have to celebrate people, both in death and while they are around, to appreciate the fact that we appreciate them. I think that's extremely important. We have some more texts. That person says, wow, that's powerful. Leadership must fear higher authority. Yes, I believe that 100%. And until we are prepared to have people that are willing to sign on to a statement of principles, because policies can change, right? Public opinion can change. What should never change is the principles that we believe in. And I am not prepared. I can tell you, I'm not politically inclined, but I am not prepared as a voter, as a taxpayer, to support any politician, legislator who does not, or even I'm not prepared to support the appointment of any government official, whether it's in the executive branch, the legislative branch, the judicial branch, that does not have a true belief in God and is prepared to submit themselves to what we would call spiritual authority. I'm not saying you have to go to a particular church, but you have to be prepared to sign on and say, these are the principles by which I live my life. Because when you don't have principles in your personal life, I can't expect you to have principles in your public and professional life. The real meaning of integrity means to be integrated. You are who you are. There is no such thing as a public or private life for somebody that provides national service. It is a fallacy. Get that out of our heads. When we talk about making the Bahamas a what we would call the best nation in the world, we have to start from the place of everybody has to be authentic in their integrity. Don't fake it. Don't act. Don't be one person, one place, and be somebody else someplace. One of the highest compliments that anybody pays me, particularly in business, is that I've had people tell me I one way all the time. You could tell me I'm smart. You could tell me all other kind of things, and I bless God for those compliments. But the one that matters the most to me is when people tell me, Carlos, you one way all the time. That is what we have to have if we're going to be contributors in our everyday life and in leadership to the betterment of this country. We have another texter that says, Brother Carlos, I must say that you're touching on some core issues and points. Thank you so much, texter. Like other folks who seem to remember that there are people who do not have other ailments, whether you're ill or not, one's body must give in to nature's wish. Also, children must be allowed to enjoy their childhood. And of course, some folks don't understand fly protocol. But Bahamas, do you know how to fly its flag? Thank you, Brother Carlos. Thank you so much, texter. Very quickly, before we take another call, this person says, but it's not a vaccine, it's a shot. Stressing ivermectin and hydrochloroquine and zinc treatments, which has been proven to be 99% effective here in the U.S. I am a strong believer in vaccines. Good day, Dr. Seymour here, a proud Bahamian doctor. What I want to know is why my government is stressing vaccination that is still under study. You know what, Dr. Seymour, and he's texting from a 386 number. I can't remember which area code that is in the U.S., but thank you so much for listening in, Dr. Seymour. If I get the opportunity, I think we need to have this debate because I think it's an important debate. While I do think that persons that want to be vaccinated should be vaccinated, I think it's important for us to listen to persons that have concerns. This is unprecedented in terms of our healthcare system globally, to have this kind of mass vaccination occur in such a short period of time. There are scientists and others on both sides of the debate that have very pertinent points. And I think we cannot get to the right answers, the best answers, by telling some people that their ideas don't matter. That is an improper way to run a country. You cannot have a successful democracy when you believe that you can cancel people because they think differently. The very hallmark of successful democratic societies is the willingness for us to listen to each other. So today, let's continue to listen to each other. Dr. Seymour made some excellent points. And again, that's his or her opinion. And let's be respectful of the fact that not everybody thinks exactly the way that they do. And they may have very valid points as to why they think that the way that they do. Let's take another call. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Ms. Mackey.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I wouldn't complain. Thank God for giving life.
Amen.
It's an open line?
Yes, open line. Feel free.
Okay, let me see.
We would like for you to talk about the future of the Bahamas, but it is an open line.
No, what I'm going to do, I'm going to talk about something else, but what I'm going to say is it's important also.
Go ahead. That's absolutely fine. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a void for the police officers.
Okay.
You all are God's servants. Restore law and order. Also, you're my brothers and sisters. Before you protect us, you must protect yourself first.
Mm.
When criminals confront you or challenge you or shoot at you, the word of God, justify you.
Mm.
Police officers are not to kill a man if he is unarmed. It will not be justified.
Mm.
The criminals who want to live, they will not challenge the police officers. Type is the marking.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate that contribution.
Okay.
As we talk about our future in this country, crime and judicial processes are very important, and I agree with you.
Ms. Mackey?
Go ahead.
I heard the radio. It's the next murder, and you last night.
Yes. And
you heard it?
I didn't hear that, but one thing I would say is that we may have this idea that... that somehow, some way, that the lockdowns are going to
slow down
murders and so forth. One of the things
I believe so too.
One of the things we have to remember is this: Jesus said very clearly, murder and all these kind of things—they're not a matter of so much what we would call external motivations. Those are matters of the heart. We have some real issues that we have to deal with in making the Bahamas better. And I thank you for bringing to light this issue of crime. We have to deal with it.
Not to cut you off too,
go ahead.
We are living the last days. So look, according to scripture, it's going to get worse before it gets better, according to the Bible.
Indeed, but I would say this. In the Bible, it also says this. Jesus Christ says two things that I always mention. He says that the kingdom of heaven suffer in violence, but the violent take it by force. Right? So we have a responsibility to not simply take things laying down. If we want the Bahamas to be better and the best place in the world, we have an opportunity to do so.
Right.
And the second thing he says is, when he comes, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? Faith without works is dead. So unless we're prepared to work, Jesus' question will be, unfortunately, negatively answered. He won't find faith. I am prepared to work, so I hope that when he comes, he will say he did find some faith.
So the main thing, we will love the Lord, we will show love.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the key.
Absolutely.
That's the main key.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, caller.
Have a blessed and safe day.
Yes, sir. You as well. This is the revolution with Juan McCartney. Before we take a couple more callers, we'll take some texts before another break. This person says the American government gave the Haitian people some COVID-19 shots and said that they don't want them to come in, and they're still coming illegally on boats to the Bahamas. We have to stop that. I'm not quite clear on what's going on as far as vaccine donations to Haiti. But yes, I am fully in agreement. Whether people are coming from Haiti, whether they are coming from other countries, south of us, west of us, east of us, north of us, I don't believe that we should allow anybody to come here illegally. I am in full support of immigration reform, comprehensive immigration reform. Not one that is racist or nationalist against any particular one set of people, but immigration reform that deals with our targets around making sure that the Bahamas is a country that is prosperous for Bahamians. And sometimes that will require us to work cooperatively with other persons that bring certain skill sets to bear. So I believe in comprehensive immigration reform, not this immigration where... Anyhow, I won't cast any aspersion on the way that the Department of Immigration does their job because they're not here to defend themselves, and I do believe we have excellent professionals there. But suffice it to say, they also should not be blamed because immigration policy is not often decided at the department level. So again, comprehensive immigration reform, that's something that we need to deal with. I'll give this last text before we go to the break, and this is the person that talked about the prime ministership. This person says, I agree with your rebuttal. It is wrong to paint everyone with the same brush, whether the brush be positive or negative. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much for that, and I agree with you. I simply, and again, I was not attacking you, simply want us to know that we all have a responsibility, and if we believe that we want better and can do better, it may simply mean that all of us have to begin to put our hearts in the ring. I don't believe that everybody should be a politician, just like I don't believe everybody should be a preacher, but at some point, we have to decide that we won't complain if we're not prepared to contribute. This is The Revolution with Juan McCartney. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation. We have a few callers waiting. Callers, just hold for us just a quick minute. We do have to pay the bills, but this is The Revolution with Juan McCartney. We'll be right back after this break.
No matter how careful you are, sometimes accidents happen. When it comes to your auto insurance coverage, we know what you need. At J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, we provide superior customer service through a quick and efficient claims department that you can trust to get you quickly and safely back on the road again. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Many people wonder, what makes Boost Academy unique? Maybe it's our 8-to-1 student-staff ratio, the emphasis we place on student individuality, our focus on numeracy, literacy, and creating better citizens by sharpening students' critical thinking skills. One of our many talented teachers, program facilitators, and mentors. Or just maybe it is our commitment to taking full responsibility for your child's education, no hidden fees or costs. Regardless of what it is, let us help your child reach their full potential. Boost Academy is currently enrolling students of grades 4 through 12. Visit www.boostbahamas.com to apply now.
Are you ready for effortless hurricane protection?
Then you need to get to know LA Impact Windows and Doors. Forget the plywood and get
the lowest and affordable prices
on hurricane windows and doors for all your residential and commercial projects. You can feel safe and secure with LA Impact Windows and Doors. Located in the Southland Shopping Center, East Street South. LA Impact Windows and Doors. Impacting your views. Call 322-3667 or 829-7822.
It's a hot primo summer, and Marco's Pizza is bringing you the heat all summer long with our fresh dough, three cheeses, and signature sauce. Enjoy our sizzling summer deal that includes one large shoe-topping pizza, 1 liter Coke product, and a free cheesy bread. Yes, you heard it correctly. It's free, all just for $21. Have a primo summer at one of our Marco's stores today. Every store, every day. The Italian way.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good afternoon. We're back here on The Revolution with Juan McCartney. This is your guest host, Carlos Maki, sitting in for Juan. And again, our telephone lines are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and our text line is 422-4796. We're talking about being future-focused in the Bahamas, and someone says that, you know what, they want to agree with me about gender and color, not saying how good you are as a leader, but you contradicted your answer when you said a person of faith is better. And thank you for that contribution, Texter. I don't know if I've necessarily contradicted myself. What I've simply said is that I don't believe that we should make, and I don't believe that faith is on the same character as race, because I'm a Christian and I believe that, and I know that there are Christians of every race. I didn't necessarily say that you only could be a, what I would say, let me rephrase that. There are some people that will believe that their version of Christianity or whatever else it may be that they believe in is what is the end all be all. I certainly believe so. My larger point is, you have to get people who are prepared to commit to a certain set of principles to the point where they're even prepared to sign on to that and say, listen, these are the principles by which I live my life. These are the principles by which I am prepared to govern. You can hold me accountable to that. One of the things that we have not yet dealt with in our country is this fact. The Constitution says that our government, particularly our elected executive branch, should provide good governance. We've not yet defined what that is. We've not defined what is good governance. My argument to us today, when we talk about this whole leadership question of future focus, you may not necessarily even have to amend the Constitution. Let everybody simply say what they believe in, what they are prepared to be held accountable to, and we can choose from that the persons, the people, the group that we believe will get us to the place of good governance. All right, we have another texter that says, I just tuned in and it's true what you said, and I do my best to treat everyone the same, but you know we have a lot of friends, family, and lovers mentality in the Bahamas. That is true, but if we're going to grow the country, we have to do a better job of getting around that. Some person says that, please know that Jesus himself does not know the time. It is his Father and our Father Jehovah alone. John chapter 17, verse 3. Tells us about that particular instance. Thank you so much, Texter. This person says, wonderful show. It saddens me that we give a vaccine that is not branded. No government is prepared to take responsibility if something goes wrong and happens to you. A friend of mine who is 70 plus rushed to take the vaccine and is now sick and could hardly breathe. They would not take her in the hospital. It is sad. Thank you so much, Texter, and we hope and wish the best for your friend. What I would say is that I won't make any speculation. I'm not a medical professional, and I think we have to not speculate. But I do believe, and I am strongly of the view, that persons that want to be vaccinated, we should do our best to make sure that they have the vaccines. And persons that don't want to be vaccinated, we have to do our best to respect them. But overall, I think that we can agree that the protocols around masking, the protocols around hand washing and or sanitization, those are reasonable things. I, as somebody that is a proponent of what I would call individual freedom, and I am a defender of that, I'm prepared to die for my freedom as a Bahamian. I am somebody that does not consider masking in public places to be an undue burden. And I think that that should be the constitutional test of these kinds of mandates. Is it an undue burden? I don't think that masking and washing your hands or sanitizing your hands is an undue burden. But the idea, to the Texas point, that we must force everybody to do the same thing, I don't think that that's the right way that we should approach our democracy. And we need to have discussions, not emotional, not vindictive, but discussions that really talk about what people's concerns are and where we can be respectful of each other. Let's take another call. Call, are you there?
Hello, Mr. Mackey?
Yes, sir. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, sir. I've been holding for some time. I thought I must be need to get on the text line. Anyhow, I'll get on to it because you haven't given persons calling in a priority. It's quite obvious, but of course I know you're sitting in the chair. Listen, when you went with respect to the late Otto Dion Hanna, former Governor General, Deputy Prime Minister of this country, and the beat goes on. He has made tremendous contribution to this country on a whole. He died at age 93. protocol should have been in place. You're supposed to have a chief protocol officer who should have acted immediately, and the secretary to the cabinet has a responsibility and a duty to make sure that all protocol with respect to the late governor general was done immediately. His or her job was to inform the prime minister and the cabinet and make sure that all protocol was put in place immediately. So we got to get off this idea that we must not make people accountable. We have to do it. If you have a job as chief protocol officer, you have a job to do. I was a former policeman. It was expected for me to do my job. I did it when I was there. You have to make people accountable. This idea of the flag not being lowered, especially at Government House and also at the House of Assembly, there are two places should have been done immediately. Other places could have been considered, but those two places in particular, the flag should have been lowered to half mast.
Absolutely.
No one need to say anything else on that.
Absolutely.
But the presidents have to be accountable. You have to make them accountable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much,
right.
Caller. I agree with that sentiment 100%. I'm not someone that believes in being punitive. And like I said, I want to do my best to give the persons that are in charge of these items the benefit of the doubt. I do think, though, it is interesting that we would have, for an embattled Haitian president, and this is no personal strike against Mr. Moise, or Moise, however his name is pronounced, an embattled Haitian president who, by various accounts, would have had an authoritarian streak in terms of suspending the parliament and attempting to have the constitution rewritten and governing by decree for a non-insignificant period of time. We would have immediately shown our respect, as we should have, because the contribution of Haitians, and let's be fair, the contribution of persons of Haitian descent previously and currently in this country is in many respects great and should be appropriately respected. That does not detract from the fact that we do have an immigration problem that needs to be addressed. But again, we cannot address it from the perspective of singling out a particular nation or diaspora. We have to address immigration comprehensively. But the larger point is, if we were able to so quickly show our respect for the assassinated Haitian president, a former cabinet minister, governor general, frame of the Constitution, it begs credulity that we can have that kind of oversight. But again, I'm going to give those that are in place the benefit of the doubt, because I don't think that we can work well together as citizens and patriots of this country if we don't want to have the best kind of thought about each other. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that it was an oversight, but I'm hoping that immediately that oversight will be corrected. You're listening to The Revolution. We'll take another call. Caller, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Carlos Maggi.
Good afternoon, caller. Welcome to The Revolution.
From the Lester Cox show, eh?
No, I haven't been on.
I know. You
Lester's
come on with him.
But listen, I just
would like to thank the government for bringing in the Johnson & Johnson, an alternative vaccine, right?
Okay.
And so I'm afraid of the schism. So the fact that you have... The thing is, what I'm saying is, we don't have a vaccine court and a vaccine compensation program. So my condolences goes out to the texter who said their father or somebody who's 77 had adverse reactions. So I want to know if they're putting the persons who are most at risk for post-vaccine adverse events pre-vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that they, I don't know if most people know about create the problem. Watch the pandemonium, then I have the panacea or the cure. So most people's minds are not even on that level. But what I'm looking at is the fact that the vaccinated can still get the unvaccinated sick and
mm-hmm.
vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe it was designed that way because they have changed the definition of what is a vaccine. I see some talk shows trying to do that. They need to go on the CDC website. They've actually changed the definition for what is a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did was they took away the efficacy or the death rate of the what is declared a pandemic. They rely strictly on the continental or geographical spread. But the death rate doesn't warrant a pandemic because the influenza pandemic, you had 30 to 50 million died, even though that's a great disparity. Mm-hmm. And so they're taking advantage of that. Also, the fact that Dr. Fauci is now selling oral interventions for COVID-19, which he should have done so a long time ago. Now, the oral vaccines would be attacking the infection at the point of the virus at the point of infection. Mm-hmm. Also, when you carry, I see people speak. The fact is, they're being kidnapped by science, humanity, mm-hmm. and the fact that people are still talking about Haitians and immigration, and all that, and humanity is being kidnapped. When you look at the emergency powers laws that being implemented, and the powers that the Ministry of Health is being given, don't for one minute believe that these laws were just being constructed. They were already waiting, cocked and ready, because this is the only disease that will change all of mankind. This is a construct. And I don't need no one to agree with me. When you look at the science, Dr. John Campbell, a peer-reviewed scientist, what they did was, you listen to him, Mr. Markey, there are people from the SARS outbreak. You listen to
him? I'm
here. There are people with the SARS outbreak included in a challenge study and a randomized study in England. They exposed them to the virus, and the T-cells immunity still exists 17 years later. They also have studies showing that the co-op-2 patients have immunity up to 3 years. This is what they have documented. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people don't understand the concept of antibodies. The T-cell immunity, this starts from the bone marrow. So what happens is, all antibodies for every infection your body has does not sit in the blood. Otherwise, the blood will become too viscous or too thick. So this is why they call them T memory. They have memory cells, T cells and B cells, and the memory cells. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. When time they are needed, they are proliferated and produced in the bone and the germline centers, all right? And so they notice, and there is cross immunity for influenza strains. So the fact that they're saying vaccine passport, all right, let's say Mr. Munro had COVID, mm-hmm. he now has immunity. They're downplaying the natural immunity. In the immune system, you have the phagocytes that play an integral role in the innate and the adaptive immune response. I had a conversation with Dr. Archer last night, but she's saying I go too deep. But I am of the consensus that there's no such thing as too deep. The people is get, listen, man, there's no such thing as too deep. We're not, you know, we're not being truthful here with the masses. The fact that we don't have a vaccine conversation program, and I heard the person text about adverse events. Now, I applaud the government again, like I say, for bringing alternative vaccines, which right. I applaud, and they should maybe try some other ones like the Novavax. And then what they call in vaccine hesitancy is vaccine sensitivity. They're using they're using words to coerce the sheep into being blindly vaccinated. And so the fact that you don't want to get vaccinated, some people who should maybe get vaccinated, they don't. But you can't create the schism that they're doing.
Thank you, caller. I think our producer is mindful of the time. I apologize, caller. What I would say to the caller's point is, I can't speak to all of the science behind what the caller would have mentioned. What I would say is this. Yes, we need to have a debate around the emergency powers and the health protocols that are in place. I'm not talking about the items around masking and so forth. There are some things that are very dangerous. I think that there is a debate around what should have happened or the way that we should be dealing with individual rights and freedoms, to the point that Dame Joan would have affirmed for those of us that are of the view that there are parts of the Constitution that have been abrogated under the emergency powers orders. And I think that regardless of what happens in the way that this particular situation, the caller said that we should not call it a pandemic, regardless of what does happen, I think that there has to be some kind of debate, some kind of legal white paper. We have to have a formal position taken for us to really deal with the fact that, yes, there is some concern that we have improperly abrogated the rights of Bahamians. And why is that important? Because if we allow it to stand unchecked, if there has been an abrogation of rights, if we allow it to stand unchecked, our future is in peril. You cannot be in a country where our leaders, elected leaders, are arbitrarily, unintentionally, or even unintentionally doing things that abrogate the rights of citizens. We have to do better at securing our future. And one way to do that is to make sure that every law, every policy is in alignment, firstly with the Constitution,
Secondly, with the rights of individuals as expressed in the Constitution or inferred in the Constitution. And thirdly, with our national plan for moving forward. This is The Revolution with Juan McCartney. I think we're going to take our final commercial break. Before we do, let me just read a few quick texts. This text says, the government should get on the right path with public employees and pay them on time. Where's the money for them? Interesting question. Not sure specifically what's being referred to. This person says that there's a good afternoon. There's a fundamental error that many fail to see. There is no vaccine according to the CDC and WHO. After we've reconciled this fact, we can have a reasonable discussion on inalienable freedoms. Thank you so much. This person says, Mr. Mackey, that call is not a doctor. The government, by changing the travel protocol, has caused many Bahamians to be stuck overseas. They would have said that earlier. And then we have this other text that says, I was shocked when Dr. Fauci said he creates vaccines. I said, wow, but no fisherman says his fish is no good. Again, we have to be very careful. I've not seen anything that says Dr. Fauci, and they're specifically talking about Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is the head of the National Institutes of Health in the United States. I've not seen anything to say that he is directly involved in the vaccine creation process. But again, this is open line. We're talking about the future of the Bahamas. Let's do our best to be respectful. Let's do our best to be fair and balanced and make sure, and I know Fox has used that term, but I genuinely mean that. Let's make sure that we present the facts. But again, above all else, let's make sure that we're focusing on making the Bahamas the best country in the world. This is The Revolution of Juan McCartney, Carlos Mackey filling in for Juan. We'll be back after this final commercial break.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Summer is heating up, and Burger King Nassau is bringing the flavor. Introducing our all-new take on a classic chicken sandwich, the Barbecue Swiss Crispy King. Our new sandwich is full of smoky and tangy flavor and features our crispy chicken patty with tangy chipotle sauce, onion rings, bacon, Swiss cheese, lettuce, and tomato, plus a smoky barbecue sauce on a soft potato bun. The new Barbecue Swiss Crispy King chicken sandwich with fries and a Pepsi is a summer treat you will love to eat, but only available for a limited time and only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Many people wonder, what makes Boost Academy unique? Maybe it's our 8-to-1 student-staff ratio, the emphasis we place on student individuality, our focus on numeracy, literacy, and creating better citizens by sharpening students' critical thinking skills. One of our many talented teachers, program facilitators, and mentors. Or just maybe it is our commitment to taking full responsibility for your child's education, no hidden fees or costs. Regardless of what it is, let us help your child reach their full potential. Boost Academy is currently enrolling students of grades 4 through 12. Visit www.boostbahamas.com to apply now.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon. We're back here on The Revolution with Juan McCartney. This is Carlos Mackey sitting in for Juan. We are about to wrap up. We'll take another caller. Caller, are you there?
Good job. I'm Ahoms.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Go ahead.
Ahoms and our country are a reflection of one another. Mm. In the home, we should contribute. And we also should contribute by paying our taxes. But there are some people who are paying taxes, and there are some are not. There are some people who have to pay taxes and who are paying taxes, but some get away because they know other people. I think for the future of our country, we need to reevaluate what's going on in this country concerning paying taxes and make sure that those who can't really pay are shouldn't pay and shouldn't be stressed though because of being burdened down. So let them asking everyone who comes into the country as foreigners or whatever. Come in, but try and be incorporated and help pay taxes so we all can survive and be together, grow in the country. Thank you.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Very interesting point, very pertinent point. The fact that we do have to figure out how we are going to, and there are some, what I would call some ways that we can do that to come up with a fair taxation system. Some people will say that I am a proponent of regressive taxes, and I don't call regressive taxes regressive. I call them fair taxes because I don't believe that taxes alone are proper economic strategy for empowering your people. I believe in flat tax. I do. But in believing in flat tax, I also believe in making sure that there is equality of opportunity. And I don't think that we have done things to make sure that there is appropriate equality of opportunity. I believe that in an environment where there's equality of opportunity, regressive taxes or progressive taxes really are not what I would call a discussion, because our view should not be, how do we help poor people to be comfortable in being poor? That's not my perspective. My perspective is, how do we help those who are not being able at this particular point to achieve their potential? How do we help them to achieve their potential? That's the question. This idea that welfare statism is the way that we should run our country is in all respects a devilish idea. We should not be concerned about how to expand the welfare state. What we should be concerned about is, how do we expand the entrepreneurial state? How do we get more persons to be independent actors in the economy such that they can do for themselves but also help to provide opportunities for others? That is a challenge before us, not how to feed more people from the perspective of having them on welfare and being able to pay for that ad infinitum. Our view should be, how do we get people the help that they need in the state where they are and help them to progress to where they can and should be? That should be our goal. That should be our conversation. I think we had a caller. Did we lose that caller? I think we lost that caller. We have another text that came in and that said, this person is not a doctor, but he was one of our texts, our previous caller. They're saying that he was not a doctor, but a science major. And the fact that his info came from Dr. John Campbell and CDC website, he is giving them credence. I've heard many doctors who couldn't answer some of his questions. Go fact check him before you judge him. I'm not judging him. He made some excellent point, and I agree 100% and I thank him for his contribution. Again, I'm not a scientist in the perspective of a lab scientist. I studied science and engineering in undergrad, but I won't give a what I would call perspective on biology and physiological science. That's not my field, so I respect what the caller had to say, but again, we have to be fair, and we have to make sure that everyone can participate in the dialogue. I have someone that just texted me, a dear friend, that says, we need dialogue, not debate. Thank you so much for that. We have another texter that says, great show. Proud of you, sir. As an Orange Creeker, we all say we love you. Thank you so much. I think that is from Mr. Newball, my what I would call hometown boy from Orange Creek, Kid Island. So thank you for all of you who are listening. We are pretty much at the end of our time almost, but I have a few questions that I want us to think about. I'm not sure when I'll get the opportunity again to be on the airwaves, but I want us as Bahamians to think about these questions, because in answering some of these questions, I think we're going to be further along the path of making sure that the Bahamas does become the very best nation in the world, bar none. One, what do we see as a comprehensive portrait of a better Bahamas that lives up to the promise laid out in the preamble of our Constitution? Number two, what do we see as the principal elements of a better Bahamas that develops its people such that we can consistently have multiple spelling bee finalists, multiple math competition finalists, multiple science competition finalists internationally from a diverse selection of our schools, both public and private? Number three, what do we have to focus on, and what are the steps going to be for the University of the Bahamas to become a national university on par with the MIT's, University of London's, and National University of Singapore's of the world? Number four, what do we see in our future relation to sports and how we develop a pipeline for the NBA, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer,
the NFL, Diamond League, track and field, and swimming, so that we can have our athletes be fully prepared, not just to compete in high school sports and even collegiate sports, to be world-class ambassadors who are properly celebrated and rewarded for putting the Bahamas consistently on the map and in front of people's minds. Number five, what do we think is needed for the Bahamas to achieve a GDP per capita of $70,000 per annum and a modal income of $25,000 per annum? Right now, our GDP per capita is about $34,000. How do we double that? And how do we get to make sure that even our, what I call modal income, the income that the average man on the street makes is at least $25,000 in today's dollars? Too many people in our country, in my view, are living off of $1,000 a month. We have to figure out how to fix that, not by giving them welfare, but by making them skilled enough to be able to do it. Another question is, what will we do with our national debt, and how are we going to make sure that the Bahamas becomes debt-free and stays debt-free? Next thing is, what are we going to do to make sure that we have a startup and entrepreneurial culture that is taught from kindergarten all the way up, and that we support an ecosystem for us to be an entrepreneurial nation? When and how do we want to have Bahamian SMEs and startups become multinationals? And the last question, what are we going to do to preserve individual choice and the freedom to be governed and not ruled via legislation or economic coercion for citizens and legal residents? Those are the questions. If we answer them and we have a dialogue about how we answer them appropriately, the Bahamas, at least up until Christ comes, will be, without a doubt, the number one nation, the most desirable nation to live in. We will be a geopolitical force if we do these things. We can do it. We should do it. I intend to help, and I hope that the rest of you intend to do so as well. God bless you. God bless the Bahamas. Let's make it the best nation in the world. This is The Revolution. This is Carlos Mackey sitting in for Juan McCartney. Be blessed, Bahamas. Take care.